Here from the scoreboard.com studios, this is Chase Snyder alongside Gavin Moritz, and welcome to the No Flags podcast presented by Box Score Sports in association with scoreboard.com. Chase Snyder alongside Gavin. Gavin, good to be seeing you again in week three.
Good to see you. Good to be here.
And we have a lot to talk about. We have a review of last week, a preview of this upcoming week, and we talk about our respective football teams in the NFL and, of course, some college stuff. First, let's start with you. What did you see last week in your games?
Well, last week, I think my game of the week was probably Humble Aldi on Saturday. Final score was 61-0, but I came away really impressed with the Humble Wildcats. Player of the game was wide receiver Dante McCray. One receiving touchdown, and also returned a punt for the second straight week for a touchdown. And I think Humble this year has a chance to contend in District 22 6A. I think they have a shot to finish and maybe even make the playoffs for the first time in a couple of years.
And last week I had Austin Westlake against Cy Ranch, and I came away very impressed with Austin Westlake. They have a big-time quarterback controversy. They're deciding between two quarterbacks, between Klubnik, Doherty, and Micho, and all three guys can sling it. All three guys can play. Two of them are seniors. I'd probably be surprised if they give it to Klubnik just because he's a sophomore, but man, all three guys are talented. Klubnik is probably the better runner, but Micho probably has the best arm between all three. Then on Saturday night, I had Spring over Cy Woods, and Terrence Singleton just tore through the place, listed as a third string running back. My goodness, he had two rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown on top of it. And big play of that game was the passing touchdown. There were a bunch of lead changes back and forth. I mean, Spring was down 14-6 with 10 seconds left in the half. Then they come back. They take a 40-20 lead. Then Cy Woods comes back and takes a 43-40 lead, 23 unanswered points. Then Spring answers it right back. And they win the game 47-43 at Princeton Stadium. And then this upcoming week, it's kind of our last week before district play begins. What do you have this upcoming week?
Well, tomorrow night I've got Summer Creek versus Pasadena Memorial at Turner and Humble. Summer Creek is 0-2 right now, but they played two really good non-district opponents in Shadow Creek and Pearland Dawson to start the season. So I think it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how Summer Creek starts playing district next week after a team that they play tomorrow at Pasadena Memorial that I think they should be capable to beat them.
Right. And this upcoming week, I have two of the best teams in 5A, and they're both in the same area. I'll be at Freedom Field Thursday and Friday night. I've got Manville playing against Sharpstown. Looking forward to how Manville is getting ready for district play. And then Shadow Creek will face Elzik on Friday night. And you saw Shadow Creek week one. What should I expect? I mean, looks like one of the best teams in the entire area.
I'd expect good offense, but even better defense. They scored three defensive touchdowns in the game that I covered week one against a good Summer Creek team, a team that's got a lot of D1 talent, especially at the quarterback position for Summer Creek with Brian Bush, who we saw emerge last year as a sophomore. And they picked him off multiple times, ran back two fumbles, I believe. It was one fumble and two interceptions. So I expect Shadow Creek to score a lot on defense and keep up the scoring in that fashion.
And Brian Bush is no joke, man. I mean,
oh, no, he came out of nowhere last year.
He was. And tell me about Drones, the new starting quarterback, taking over for Jamarian George. I mean, big shoes to fill, but so far so good. Best team in 5A in the Houston area.
Well, I saw him a little bit last year. He came in and played in a little bit of relief in some of the Shadow Creek games that I did where they were just blowing teams out on their way to, you know, going to the state title game undefeated. And I liked Drones last year, and I was impressed. I didn't think he was good enough last year to start over Jamarian George. Obviously, the reason that George was the starter as a senior in the first year of varsity for Shadow Creek. Yeah. But I expect big things from Drones this year, and I expect Shadow Creek to make another deep playoff run.
And Saturday night, I'll be at Turner taking over for you, and I'll be taking on the Barbers Hill Kingwood Park game. You saw Kingwood Park last week against Waltrip in a 42-13 victory. What did you see from Kingwood Park, and what should I expect as they take on Barbers Hill? Looking forward to it.
Well, look out for their big three on offense. Quarterback Hudson Duzzle, first year as a starter. Running back Desmond Benjamin, who was my player of the game with two touchdowns. And then watch out for receiver Kanan Adrian, who had a long touchdown that I had the opportunity to call.
I did see that, Kanan Adrian. I mean, Kingwood Park is very young, but they seem to be talented. They're coming off a 38-7 loss week one against Angleton. Then they responded the next week against Waltrip at home. And then they'll face Barbers Hill before they start district play. It should be a very interesting game. And, of course, you know, Barber Still, of course, led by Tom Westerberg, the legendary Texas high school football coach. And you have a pretty decent game Saturday, too, with Magnolia West against Foster.
Well, Matt Foster comes in at 1-1. They lost last week against Fort Bend Travis, but they beat a really good College Station team week one by plenty of points. And I was really impressed with Cody Jackson along with Ryan Stubblefield, the quarterback. And as we talked about Cody Jackson, you know, Oklahoma commit, and they're just a talented team. And then Mag West comes in at 1-1. Week one, they beat Brenham, and then they lost last week 26-21 to a good CE King team that we may have the opportunity to cover later this season.
Yeah, and the CE King, of course, has the gigantic, massive new stadium. It looks gorgeous after the renovations because of Harvey. And I can't wait to get out there as soon as we can. And you're going to be going to Trailer, aren't you?
Yes.
You're going to be going to Trailer for the first time.
First time back at Trailer this season.
And you got to tell me how the new press box is, because we've always talked about how the press box desperately needs to be upgraded there.
Right.
It'd be a beautiful facility. And you also have Katy versus IPN this week, which is pretty interesting. I mean, Katy crushed him last season. And tell me a little bit about IPN versus Katy.
Well, Katy's going to come in at 2-0 with probably two of the most impressive wins so far this season out of anyone in the state. They beat the reigning state champs North Shore week one, as we talked about, game on ESPNU. And then last week they beat Atascocita, a team that a lot of people expected to even contend and maybe even beat Katy. Atascocita ranked in the top 10 in the state.
What's even more impressive about that is that Katy did it on the road.
At Turner.
Twice. They did it at North Shore week one and then at Turner week two. I mean, that's a good football team. And
yes.
Bronson McClellan looks as good as ever. And Jordan Patrick, of course. I mean, these are Katy veterans. They're kind of on DeAndre Glass level. I mean, they've been there for a long time. And I'm excited for you to watch you cover Katy. It should be a very fun game. And I'll let my dog in as you finish. Go ahead.
And I'm definitely excited to cover Katy this week. I get to borrow the Katy Tigers from our good friend and colleague Michael Silvers for a week. And they get to play a team from Mexico City, Mexico, the Aguilas Blancas IPN. As a team, you mentioned, traveled to Katy last year, played them at Legacy. Katy won big, but it's a good opportunity for these guys to come in and play in a different country, which I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I can't even imagine either, coming into the United States, you know, playing America's game, basically. And it's a great experience, I think, for both teams. I think both teams had a lot of fun with it last year, and I don't see this year being any different. So, you want to talk Dallas? We can talk Cowboys.
Let's talk Cowboys first.
Let's talk
about America's team. Yeah,
America's team. We'll go from America's game to America's team. I'll start with my Cowboys thoughts before we get into yours. I was very impressed with Kellen Moore on Sunday. I'm calling for Dak Prescott. You know, the comparison was Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott, Sean McVay, Jared Goff.
Right.
And I can't really dispute it. I mean, Prescott with 4 touchdown passes, and they were all beauties. I mean, it was probably the best football I've ever seen Dak play. You've seen him every single snap the past 3 years. What'd you think?
Dak played about better than I expected him to. I expected him to have a good game, but going 25 of 32, 405 total yards and 4 total touchdowns, not what you'd expect. I mean, the Giants, they're not a great team, but they don't have as bad of a defense as I think they played on Sunday. I think we came out strong. Like you said, Kellen Moore stepping in as the new offensive coordinator did really well. I didn't know what to expect, but I mean, coming in as a former backup quarterback, I think he knows the game in and out, especially the system under Jason Garrett.
Well, exactly. I think the main reason why he stuck in the NFL for so long, he was never the most talented guy. He was a great talent. He was a great player at Boise State, great college player, but he was never going to last long in the NFL. But the reason he had a decent 3-4 year run there was because the dude was so smart and could read defenses like nobody's business and knows the X's and O's as well as anybody, and that's why he's the offensive coordinator, and I expect him to get a head coaching job in the next 2 to 3 years.
And then we also saw Zeke, who had 13 carries, 53 yards and a touchdown. I think he played about the amount of snaps, 20 to 25, that everyone expected him to, you know, coming out the holdout. And 53 yards and a touchdown is pretty good on 13 carries. And then we'll talk about Michael Gallup.
I mean, Gallup was kind of a breakout star on Sunday.
158 yards.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. He looked fantastic.
Second-year guy. And I didn't know what to expect. I expected him to play well, but not that well. The whole Cowboys team impressed me because I, coming out of an offseason that we lost a lot of veteran guys, we lost Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams on the offense.
Right.
So I wasn't sure what to expect, mainly out of the receiving corps, but Michael Gallup stepped up big.
I mean, Dak finally has some decent toys, it seems like. I mean, with Bryant's, with Dez, it was kind of like this whole big charade of how Dez was responding to Dak after Romo left, and then Dez was past his prime, and now he's got Amari in there, and he has Gallup in there, and Witten's back.
Jason Witten scored a touchdown.
He did score a touchdown. The old man is back in the end zone. And I got to tell you, it is very strange watching him back on the football field after that disaster in the booth for a year.
I'll tell you what, the touchdown that he scored wasn't anything special, but it was the most special thing he's done in a year or two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Besides steal $4 million from ESPN just for sitting in the booth. But anyway, I mean, we talked all about their offense. What did you think of their defense? I mean, this might be one of the best in the NFL.
The defense played well. We talked last week about the new linebacking core with Van Der Esch, Sean Lee, and Jalen Smith. And Jalen Smith, who we just extended, he played well. The secondary played better than I expected. Jeff Heath stepping in to start. Jeff Heath had a pretty good game. And then the D-line got after Eli a little bit. Nothing too fantastic, but they got the job done.
They got the job done. I mean, only allowing 17 points is pretty impressive. And then they'll transition into Chiefs, 40-26, Kansas City. It's so funny. Every single time they step on the field, I expect them to score 35 points every single time. In the first seven possessions, they scored. It was ridiculous. You can take the Chiefs' thoughts first, and then I'll piggyback off of them.
Patrick Mahomes did what we expected him to, coming off a 50-touchdown season. Threw, I believe, three more on Sunday.
Yeah, he did. 378 yards, three touchdowns.
He had 300 yards at the half.
Over 300 yards at the half. It was absurd.
And we talked a little bit before this in our preparation how we talked about LeSean McCoy, who looked fantastic.
I think LeSean McCoy should be the starter for the rest of the season. I mean, let's take the difference between McCoy and Williams. Damien Williams had 13 carries for 26 yards. He had that touchdown, but it was a yard out. McCoy had 10 carries for 81 yards. And every single time it felt like McCoy got into the game, the Chiefs' offense just felt even more explosive. And Hill's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. I expect him to be back around the Colts-Texans game October 6th, October 13th, around that range. But if Sammy Watkins can do what he did on Sunday, I mean, he looks like a freak. He looks leaner than he did last year. He had nine catches, 198 yards, and three touchdowns. I mean, best Sammy Watkins performance I've seen since Clemson.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, Tyreek Hill, like you said, you have Sammy Watkins, so I don't think they should be too concerned. I mean, their offense is already explosive enough, and I think you take out one component, and they still have the capability to beat anyone in the NFL.
As long as Kelce is healthy, I think he's the most important player on this offense because – I mean, the backup tight end is Deion Yelder or Blake Bell. But Travis Kelce makes that offense go almost unguardable. And as long as Tyreek is not out for an extended period of time, like the entirety of the season, I think they'll be fine. But, man, if Sammy Watkins can play like that every single Sunday, I mean,
might have to bust out my Sammy Watkins jersey.
You might just have to, man. I wouldn't blame you if you did.
It is a Bills jersey, it though.
He was this close to being a Cowboy.
I know.
This close. But I kind of saw his breakout game last year. I think we talked about it on the last podcast when I was up there in Kansas City for the Denver game. And he had over 80 yards and two touchdowns. And we were like, okay, Sammy's finally getting the offense. And then he got hurt the next week against Cleveland, didn't come back. I'll take that back. He came back for a drive against the Rams, and then Chiefs were like, oh boy, he's not 100% yet. And then they kept him out until the playoffs. Playoffs, he played well, very well, in the games against Indianapolis and New England. And he's just picking up right where he left off last year. He looks leaner, like I said. And nine catches, 198 yards, and three touchdowns would go well for just about anybody.
Right.
The dude is a freak. We've always known that. And watching him in the open field, no one's going to catch him out in the open field. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what Mecole Hardman can do with his opportunity. The only thing I worry about is that this offense is hard to learn, especially your first year in this system, let alone a rookie just trying to learn the basics of being an NFL player.
Right.
But we'll see. It should be very interesting. And as long as you have 15 at quarterback, you're going to be fine every single Sunday.
For the next 10 or 15 years.
Exactly. And Cowboys have Redskins.
Yes.
What do you expect from this game? 5-point favorites on the road.
I expect another victory. Probably about the same margin. Was it 18 points on Sunday?
Yeah, it was 35-17.
So I expect probably about the same. The Redskins aren't... I think they're all right.
I mean,
if they've got Case Keenum.
When Case Keenum is your bridge quarterback, Case Keenum's your bridge quarterback.
I think we're all right.
Yeah. Kansas City goes on the road to Oakland.
Who, they played well Monday.
They did play well Monday, and I don't see any reason why the Chiefs shouldn't win this game by double digits. You got the Raiders coming off a very emotional win on Monday. Short week. Kansas City going on the road to Oakland. Two guys in their secondary out for what it looks like the remainder of the season, and Gerrion Conley and Jonathan Abram.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think Kelsey and Watkins are going to just tear them apart. I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, I expect them to score 35 points every single time they step on the field. I mean, it's a joke what this offense can do every single Sunday. And
Talked about the Raiders-Denver game on Monday night.
Joe Flacco looked pretty bad.
He did.
He did not look good.
Did not look like the Joe Flacco of 2012.
No, that is long gone. That is long gone. And if I were Denver, I'd be very concerned. I mean, you have lockout for probably the entire season. And then Flacco looking like that. It's not the bridge quarterback that you're looking for. And I kind of think the Raiders treated this game like a Super Bowl. It was the last Monday night game of the year. They're coming off the AB drama. That's a whole nother discussion. There's a lot going on this week with Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah. We won't even get into it.
We won't even get into it until it's, like, all finalized. We don't want to take that risk. But the other Monday night game,
oh yeah,
might have been a game of the year candidate. I mean,
game of the week, no doubt.
Yeah, it was obviously the game of the week. I was entertained from beginning to end. What were your thoughts coming away from that game?
The Texans played about what we thought they were going to play. Like, Deshaun Watson looked fantastic.
Yep.
The offense played well. DeAndre Hopkins looked great. Will Fuller actually surprised me, impressed
Will
me.
Will Fuller made some catches.
Kenny Stills made some catches.
Kenny Stills made
second or third week in the offense.
Yeah, he made the biggest catch of the game up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I can't hold my tongue. They're up by one, Houston was. Ball's at midfield. Drew Brees is driving. Got how many seconds left? It was 6 seconds left in the game.
One timeout.
You know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to set up a field goal. I don't know why you leave the middle of the field wide open and you have
off coverage.
Your corners play 8 to 10 yards off. It makes no sense. They're looking for 10 yards, and they just gave it to him. Then Lutz went out there for a 58-yard field goal. And I know it's a long field goal.
It's in his range, though.
Yeah, but man, it looked good from 68. It was a very impressive game, very impressive drive. I came away thinking that Texans might be the better team. Saints won on the – just they had it. I think Houston wins in any other place in the country.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Superdome week one, that place is rocking, coming off the NFC Championship game. The only thing I worry about with the Texans, offensive line.
Of course. Yeah. Six sacks. And Tunsil gave up, I want to say, two of them.
I think so. He looked a little bit rusty. A couple times where it was like, man, they're working that screen game. And I got to tell you, big surprise, Carlos Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
He looked very good. I was genuinely surprised by how good, genuinely and pleasantly surprised by how good Carlos Hyde looked. And Duke Johnson looks like a decent third down back. And, you know, with Lamar Miller, without Lamar Miller, they might be better off.
I've always thought that. I've never been the biggest Lamar Miller
fan. I've never been the biggest Lamar Miller fan either. It sucks what happened to him, but that offense looks like it can be lethal. The right place at the right time. And, boy, they played a fantastic game.
And you live here in Houston. A lot of people talk about Houston sports being, you know, this is one of the best sports cities in the country.
Right.
And so naturally the fans are going to be a lot tougher, just like they were on the Astros when they were losing 100 games a year. Yep. Just like they were on the Rockets every time they lost to Golden State in the playoffs.
Yep.
And just like they are right now with Bill O'Brien. I know plenty of Texans fans that even after game on Monday are still saying, barely lost to a team that should have been in the Super Bowl last year, but it's still fire Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Bill O'Brien has his moments, good and bad, but I think the guy to blame for this loss is Romeo Crennel.
Oh, yeah.
He just can't – too many missed opportunities on defense, and Deshaun Watson and the offense did everything they could. I genuinely believe that.
And what concerns me with Deshaun, I mean, he played fantastic, but he's going to get himself killed.
Yeah, he has to protect himself better, and I didn't know it until Monday night, but it makes sense. He calls his own protections.
Mm.
And I feel like that's an area of his game that he can get better at, you know, knowing where the defense is coming from and getting the right alignment and everything. But
and they extended Nick Martin, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, 3-year, $33 million extension. And if Deshaun can take care of himself, that is a good football team. And, okay, let me ask you this. Top four teams in the NFL. I know my four. I feel like there's the top four, and then there's a gap.
Top four, I'll give you Patriots.
Okay.
Chiefs.
Okay.
Saints.
Ooh.
Eagles.
See?
And then I think there's like a second tier, which is like the Texans, the Cowboys, the Rams, and who else do we have in the AFC? The Ravens looked...
The Ravens looked good.
But they were also playing Miami.
That's the thing. I mean, but...
They had up almost 60 points.
You put up 59 points, so very
impressed. Lamar Jackson looked fantastic.
He did. I was very impressed by Lamar Jackson. It looked like he improved his throwing. We'll have to see these upcoming weeks. And I want to talk about the Chiefs defense for a second. Chiefs defense, you know, only gave up 13 points as we were halfway through the fourth quarter.
Garbage time points.
Yeah, garbage time points. It felt like they were better. Some people aren't buying it. I think the personnel is better and the coaching is better. It's just going to take some time with the new coaching staff and the new players. And I think by midseason, they'll be humming. I think they'll be a top 20. All they need is a top 20 defense.
Like you said, they're putting up 35 points a game. There's no one they shouldn't be.
Exactly. I think with, again, if Antonio Brown plays for the Patriots, the best two offenses in the league are Kansas City and New England, and I think a gap, and it's Dallas and Philadelphia. If Dak Prescott plays like he played on Sunday, I'm telling you right now, Dallas is a top five team in the NFL. For me, it's Patriots, Chiefs, no order. Patriots, Chiefs, Eagles, Cowboys, gap, Saints, Texans.
Rams.
Rams. Rams, I see taking a minor step back.
I think last year, it wasn't a fluke, but I think they played out of their mind.
Yeah, I think that was... I would not be surprised if that's the peak for the Rams. And they went all in on that year. They just came up short. And Gurley's getting old, and you read the report that they have no idea what's going on with his knee.
Right.
And that is a definite cause for concern. Hopefully he's all right. But Malcolm Brown looked pretty good too. And going to be very interesting to see how this season plays out.
And last item on the agenda, we've got LSU, UT.
What a game that was.
Fantastic
game. I found that game in the fourth quarter as I went to our spot, Torchy's.
Oh, yes.
I watched the end at Torchy's, and I was reading it today. Joe Burrow is a legit NFL prospect now. I never thought the day would come, but man, that dude can throw. And Ed Orgeron looks like he knows his limitations, he knows all he has to do is just worry a little bit about the defense and recruit. Just leave the offense to the other guys. And boy, is it working. I would not be surprised if they beat Alabama this year. It might be one of those years. I know they have to go to Tuscaloosa, but man, I am impressed. And I was impressed too by Texas.
I think Ellinger played really well, but I think the defense played well. They just came up short in the spots where they really needed to come up big the most.
Yeah, and Burrow took advantage of it. And Burrow looks very good. But Texas cannot afford to lose another game. They have to beat Oklahoma.
They didn't take a big hit in the rankings.
No, I think they only lost. They even dropped down.
I think they stayed at 12.
I think so. Or did they? That was A&M at 12. A&M dropped down to 15. Let's see the rankings here. But yeah, I got to tell you, I was very impressed by Texas and how they played. I like I said on the last podcast, I was expecting LSU to kill them because, of course, you know, they're the more talented team, but that crowd was roaring. They've dropped down to 12.
Okay.
So it wasn't that big of a drop.
You know who had a great game? Colin Johnson.
Colin Johnson did have
a great game. He's
fantastic. I swear he's been at Texas for like the past 5 years.
You know who was in college football for a really long time? I don't know if you saw my tweet a couple months ago. It was a tweet and it said, who's a player in college football that you felt played like their team or played with their team for like 10 years?
Uh-huh.
LJ Scott.
LJ Scott is
from
a
Michigan
great
State
one.
Running back.
Yeah, LJ Scott.
He was on the Spartans for since I was in like sixth grade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he finally got drafted.
It feels like he just took over for Le'Veon Bell after right. Bell left. And it's crazy to think at Michigan State. I mean, they had
at one point
Cousins at quarterback and Bell at running back. I mean, I'd love to see that again. I mean, that's a lot of fun. Michigan State's one of the more underrated programs. And I think if you're Michigan, you got to be really concerned after the barely beating Army at home at the Big House. You kind of knew that they'd pull it off, but even still, I don't know, man. It's just a different level between Ohio State and Michigan right now. And Ohio State has a big game against Indiana this week. I expect them to go into Bloomington, Indiana and pull out that big win. Not a lot of big college football games this week. I mean, the Clemson going on the road to Syracuse is the Saturday night game.
And that's not even...
Yeah, come on. Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence. We saw that in the A&M game.
And Trevor Lawrence will eventually be the first overall pick.
Exactly. We know that now as a sophomore. We kind of knew it as a true freshman. And I will say, though, Texas A&M, I was pretty impressed with. I mean, they played hard. Of course, Clemson's the better team. But they stuck around for a while. And I think that is a program that is on the rise. And they will be just fine under Jimbo. Those are my final thoughts of the week. You have any final thoughts?
Looking forward to another week of football.
Amen, brother. Take it away.
That'll do it here on episode 3 of the No Flags podcast presented by Box Score Sports. A special thank you to everyone who made this production possible, Box Score Sports, scoreboard.com, and our producer, Jordan Smith. Signing off, I'm Gavin Moritz alongside Chase Snyder. Thank you.